Wired Jesus Podcast, March 26, 2008. Creative Commons licensed.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone.
Wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim.
And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Well, I don't like your God. Your God scares me.
My boy, we're pilgrims in an unholy land.
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast, the wired wanderings of a postmodern pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg. Glad you've come along for our journey together.
Source code. Warning, the daily source code has been known to influence people, and not necessarily in a good way.
I am the root of all evil. I am the root of your drinking. There you go.
So please, cautiously listen to the DSC 737. And hey, be careful out there.
Strapped to my ass.
Transmitters?
And the next generation radio content in my ears.
We don't need no stinking transmitters.
I like to think I'm flying into the future. Podcasting is Adam Curry.
The omen, because you're the devils, you're the demons, and you know that. Your music, rock and roll, is a satanic music. When they say you turn around, you make the music go back, and you hear Satan speaking. You make the music go back, you hear Satan speaking. You make the music go back, you hear Satan.
Today's message is a solemn warning to all young people who listen to rock and roll and heavy metal music. Satan knows he only has a short time to deceive the earth, so he's using music as his antichrist tool to deceive the masses.
You make the music go black, you hear Satan speaking.
And I'm finally beginning to unravel a bizarre and fiendish plot designed by Satan's antichrist system to corrupt, pervert, and ultimately enslave the youth of this generation.
Another one bites the dust.
You make the music go black, you hear Satan speaking.
Satan's satanic takeover of our youth through rock music.
You make the music go black, you hear Satan speaking.
All rock music is dangerous. I want to tell you that today, even some of the mellow stuff that doesn't sound like it has anything in it that could be deceptive or even misleading. I started asking God, can you show me how he's doing it? I wanted to have proof positive. Now, Queen has a song called
Another One Bites the Dust.
We have the same reaction the first service. The kids went, oh no, not Queen. Not Another One Bites the Dust.
Another One Bites the Dust.
All rock music is dangerous.
Another One Bites the Dust.
I want you to know today that Satan has planted his lyrics in the music, and some of it is subliminal. That means it's down at low decibel levels where you wouldn't hear it audibly as you play the music at the speed that you, or the high sound levels that you would regularly play it.
You make the music go black, you hear Satan speaking.
Satan has planted his lyrics in the music.
You make the music go black, you hear Satan speaking.
There's another message going on below the surface. This is called subliminal programming.
You make the music go black, you hear Satan speaking.
But I want to say something. I don't believe that this particular masking was intentional. I think that this is something that Satan himself put into the music. Let's play it forwards. Another One Bites the Dust.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Ow! Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey! Another one bites the dust. Hey!
Okay, I'm going to play that for you backwards. It's the next cassette. We'll have to put a new cassette in. And on this next cassette, I want you to hear the secret message. It's over and over and over. It says, it's fun to smoke marijuana. It's fun to smoke marijuana. It's fun to smoke marijuana. You listen to it and tell me if it's not there. Let's play that. You see what the secret message was? It's fun to smoke marijuana. It's fun to smoke marijuana. It's fun to smoke marijuana. Now I'm going to play that backwards for you once more for those of you that are skeptics.
Listening to Daily Source Code yesterday on my way downtown, I heard this mashup, and it reminded me of an email I had received about this homeschool dance a while back. I'd saved it in my email file. It wasn't sent to me directly, but by a friend who had received it and thought I would be interested. I posted the letter yesterday, but I'll read it again to you now. Like the old Dragnet series, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, or the loonies, depending on your perspective. And that includes the name of the Christian youth organization that the adults led and were writing on behalf of. Dear parents, as some of you may know, my wife and I, for the first time, attended this year's homeschool formal dance held at the unnamed banquet hall on unnamed street. Although there were many kids from our youth group in attendance, this was not one of our youth events, nor was it sanctioned by our youth leadership. However, my wife and I were aghast at the rampant homosexual and heterosexual dance behaviors of about 20% of the teenagers at last night's events. We were shocked at how the dance leadership refused to help stop the sexual dancing, even after many kids complained in great disgust. The only rule provided to the teenagers at the start of the night by the dance leadership was no sex on the dance floor. Unfortunately, even this rule was not enforced. The dance leadership of last night's dance had previously announced that this was their last dance. Therefore, my wife and I have the opportunity to take over the future dance formals and to change the nature and objective of the dances. However, we need the help of all the Christian families in the community to join us in redesigning the future dance events to promote God-honoring behavior and to encourage students to find fun in non-sexual dance activities. Parents already involved include the following. However, we need a strong coalition of families to help us turn the tide and take back control of our Christian dance events. Please join us for a community forum at our house to share ideas and reshape the mission of the next dance event. We need Christian families and your students to come to our meetings to help us take the lead in providing a safe and fun alternative to the illicit dance events of the past.
My name is Ren McCormick, and I would like to move on behalf of most of the senior class of Beaumont High School that the law against public dancing within the town limits of Beaumont be abolished.
Chairman, could I address myself to this?
Yeah.
Even if this was not a law, which it is, I'm afraid I would have a lot of difficulty endorsing an enterprise which is as fraught with genuine peril, as I believe this one to be. Besides the liquor and the drugs, which always seem to accompany such an event, the thing that distresses me even more, Wren, is the spiritual corruption that can be involved. These dances and this kind of music can be destructive. And, Wren, I'm afraid you're going to find that most of the people in our community are going to agree with me on this.
I do.
Okay, so I got a little carried away there. But it's a real letter. It's a real letter. And these folks were serious, and all I could think of is, you know, Footloose is alive and well. I remember as a teenager in the 80s, Footloose came out. I went to see it in the theater, and I wondered, what planet do people like this live on? In Naples, Florida, you know, there was no question about dancing. And you didn't run into many really weird religious beliefs. I mean, you know, true, there were our Jerry Falwell types, and it still was the South after all. But, you know, this Beaumont, Texas, where Footloose was said to be filmed at, was just, you know, it just didn't seem real. You know, if small towns were like this, you know, must be one step away from being hell, and I was just a whole lot happier on the beach. But later on, you know, went off to college and seminary, and as a pastor, I ended up serving in small-town congregations in Ohio. And while they are different places than the suburbs I grew up in, or live in now, they weren't quite like Beaumont either. You know, these were real people who had very real lives, and while it was different and somewhat detached in the 80s and 90s, you know, it just wasn't that close-minded kind of place. But what I did discover is that letters like this one came from places that weren't necessarily small town. I mean, this comes from a large city. Letters like this and perspectives like this are out there. They are called Christian. And they have nothing to do with small towns, but have everything to do with small minds, small trust, and small faith. Like I said, this email came from a large city, not a small town, and I didn't name where it was at and which side of the Mississippi you'll find it on. But it goes back to this old unhealthy idea that the world is evil and we need to protect ourselves from it. And so this perspective is across the country and around the world. And now, and the thing is, you know, in Christian lingo, we believe in sin. You know, this idea that our relationship with God is broken. And consequently, all our relationships are broken and incomplete. And as you know, as you explore that within the faith journey, you have this idea that, you know, somehow our relationships to others and to the world isn't the way it should be. But what too many preachers and people are saying is something that's different. It's a step beyond and a twist that, you know, frankly, isn't biblical. That everything is evil. Everything in the world around us is evil. Passion is evil. Sex is the vehicle for sin, and our kids can't be trusted, so we have to protect them. The world's totally corrupt, and so we have to do everything to stay away from it or change it into the image we want. I like Footloose, one of the classic B-movies of the 80s. And one of the things I really like about it is that, in my mind, John Lithgow does one of the best portrayals of a pastor I've ever seen. 9 times out of 10, the images of pastors that you see on TV are just horrible, you know. But Pastor Shaw is not a crazed fanatic. He's not a harmless wuss. He's not a man in it for the money, nor is he just a hired employee for his congregation. He's a man wounded by his own grief, who struggles to keep his faith, who is, a spokesman of integrity. And he moves from being essentially a church manager driven by his fears to an authentic Christian leader guided by a vision of what may yet be. In the end, he's willing to risk, to give up his fears, to give up his own baggage, and he risks by trusting others because he realizes he's been trusted by his God.
I'm standing up here before you today with a very troubled heart. You see, my friends, I've always insisted on taking responsibility for your lives. But I'm really like a first-time parent who makes mistakes and tries to learn from them. And like that parent, I find myself at that moment when I have to decide. Do I hold on? Or do I trust you to yourselves? Let go. And hope that you've understood at least some of my lessons. If we don't start trusting our children, how will they ever become trustworthy? I'm told that the senior class at the high school has got use of a warehouse in Basin for the purpose of putting on a senior dance. Please join me to pray the Lord to guide them in their endeavors.
Looking into your eyes, I know I'm right. If there's anything worth my love, it's worth the fight.
If there's one thing I now know to be true from my wired wanderings, it's that the internet has changed everything. The entire world is now busted open and delivered to your doorstep, no matter if you are in St. Louis or in a farm town in North Dakota. Parents can't protect their kids with a fence, be it a wooden one around their house, a rural isolation, or an uber-sheltered life with homeschooling. I used to live near an Amish community, and they aren't that isolated. You know, they have cell phones. They have no qualms about using cars if someone else is drives, and they use web pages for their construction businesses. The Amish are right in the midst of the world with us, and if the Amish aren't safe from the outside world, don't begin to think you can create your own cocoon of personal safety or religious purity. It didn't work that way for the early church. Their experiment in communal living only lasted a few months, and it ended in fighting, so we aren't going to do any better. What all this means for church folks is that the old world we thought was there is now dead, and in fact may never have really existed. This isn't a Christian country. And the idea of restoring Christian values and worldviews to our community as some crusade for morals is probably not more than a step away from what we see in the Middle East. you look in the Bible, Jesus never forced anyone to follow him or accept what he taught or die. He taught us to be witnesses, not manipulators. So something has to change if we're going to get back to what Jesus was about rather than what we want to be about. And so, on one hand, you have to change your parenting. You have to change what it means to be community. You have to change who you are going to blame and start taking responsibility for yourself and empower others to be responsible. You know, I can't protect my youngest son from the garbage on the internet, but I want him to be on the net and enjoy all it has to offer and learn to walk away from the junk. So I have taught him and set boundaries, but I also trust him to do it on his own, and I don't hover over his shoulder. I won't be able to protect my oldest son from living on his own at college and all the things that I remember happened to me and all the choices he's going to face too. So I've learned to trust him now. So that means getting involved with your kids now, teaching them to be trustworthy now by sending them out, not by hiding them in your house. As a community, we have to start acting like a community, not a scapegoating mob. You know, this whole thing with Barack Obama and his pastor has just driven me nuts. You know, whether you want to vote or not vote for Barack Obama, fine. Vote on what the man says and does, not because certain groups want to portray his pastor, who happens to be a pastor of a mainline church, but they portray him as some kind of hate-mongering freak. Make your own decision about Barack Obama. Make your own decision about the pastor and actually check it out. But do it for yourself. And as a church, you know, we need to act like it. You know, we shouldn't so quickly turn into the stereotypes the media delights in reporting on. Realize that God created the world and called it good, and that was never rescinded. That being passionate is no crime, and that you don't have to project your own sexual hang-ups or those of St. Augustine, who was the one who drew the connection between original sin and sex. You know, we don't have to hang on to all that stuff and call it the will of God. Trust God. Trust yourself. And your faith will start to look a lot more like Jesus and a lot less like the book burners in Footloose. Take responsibility for your own actions before God, right or wrong. And be the church Jesus calls you to be, not the exclusive club you prefer. As I said, an interesting day yesterday, an Evils of Rock mashup, a homosexual conspiracy at a homeschool dance in Footloose. What can I say? Sometimes those outside the church make more sense for Jesus than those who call themselves Christian. That's all for this podcast. No special links today other than to Daily Source Co., where you can listen to the mashup there. But I do have a featured congregation for you today, and that is Vox, located in Archbold, Ohio, my old stomping grounds. Believe it or not, Vox is a postmodern worshiping community that's part of a local Mennonite church that meets in an old factory in the Village Industrial Park. Now, Archbold is where I served as pastor from 1998 to 2006. And that's where I met Drew Mosier, the pastor who started Vox in 2005. Archbold's the home to Sauter Woodworking. They make ready-to-assemble furniture, you know, computer desks, bookcases. You've probably seen them at Walmart and Target. They do a big business with that. But the town only has a population of 4,500 people. Yet Vox is there, it's doing well in a town that really might look like the set for Footloose at first glance. But they're really much cooler than that. And it's in this town that Vox is reaching postmoderns. You know, it's small town Ohio, proof positive that we have met the wired world, and it is us. The world is on our doorstep every day now. So check out Vox, a postmodern church in a small town. On another note, like I said, I was listening to Daily Source Code as I was driving downtown tomorrow. And the reason was I was on my way to the Apple Store down on Michigan Ave to learn how to use GarageBand for podcasting. So this is my first attempt at using it and creating an enhanced podcast. So I'm still learning to adjust with all the little sound tweaks and everything else. So if you have any problems, or you know, let me know. And if you like any of the new additions, let me know that too. So until the next podcast, thanks for listening to Wired Jesus, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee.
Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two.
I wrote that.
Yeah.